B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Second down looming from midfield. Matthew Slater taking up his familiar pose in victory formation as Brady drops to the knee. Razor sharp all day long here at Gillette. The Patriots quarterback threw for 343 yards, and the Pats remain unbeaten at home. And now they've got to take a performance like today's and build on it, travel to Kansas City with it to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year,
yep,
as they will meet in the AFC Championship game next Sunday in Kansas City.
Well, that was easy.
He looked good.
The Chargers stink. They weren't that good. No. I'm just kidding.
Can't do that today.
I'm just kidding.
I would never.
Well, I would never. What a win. What an impressive win.
That's a good win.
What an ass whooping that the Patriots put on the Chargers yesterday. It's the best football game they've played all year. And it's not even really close. At least not that I could think of.
I'm trying to, like, how do you juggle the end of the game? Because they did score some points there, but the defense, totally different. Totally different. You know, you're protecting the boundary. You're keeping things in the middle. You're allowing them to catch the ball, to chew clock. And it sort of went that way for the entire game. And I said, they're going to make catches. They're going to make plays down the field. You know, they'll hit you for a 30 or 40 yarder. And they got talent. But the big key was you were so much better on first down after those plays where you stuffed them. You had them at second long. Then it was third and long. You just battened it up after
that. Let me ask you, it's going to sound like a stupid question.
What's that?
How did the Patriots win the game?
The offense. Because you won the opening coin toss. You took the ball. And you methodically did what you wanted to do to them, whether it was a run, whether it was a pass, whether it was play action. How many series was it? And I was turning around to you guys. I'm like, making sure. We did not punt yet, right? They did not.
You looked at me and you asked me if the Patriots had punted, and I said no. They've had four drives.
It was like with 3 minutes left in the half.
Touchdown
with all. Okay, just making sure because I'm just like
they scored on seven of the first eight drives.
Yeah,
that's how
they won the game.
There was a point where they had 21 first downs, and the Patriots had 21 first downs, and the Chargers had 20 offensive plays.
Yeah,
It was a slaughter.
I believe at halftime the stat was 47 offensive plays for the Patriots and 24 first downs. More than half of their plays had resulted in first downs in the first half.
Now the defense was good. I'm not taking away because you asked me how they won the game, and it was good complimentary football all the way around. Special teams were great. I thought they got downfield. They were tackling. You know, Crossing did a good job being that first guy down contact. They bottled him up. Boy, that Desmond King's an All-Pro. All pro. I mean, he didn't have a sniff on Edelman.
He sucked yesterday.
He got turned around by Julian Edelman.
You're talking about guys that did not have a good day. That's number one on the list.
I mean, our biggest thing going into this game from a concern standpoint offensively, like, Edelman hasn't had that bang route in the middle. Like, he did whatever he wanted to do. He abused him.
We talked to Greg Bedard, after the game last night, and he said, it's just a... That's just a result of them playing zone. I'm like, I don't think Desmond King had a very good day.
No.
I think he was actually pretty terrible. He was bad.
Well, when you're dropping zone, when you're playing zone, you negate the guy in your area.
Oh, there's none of that going on.
Nobody negated anybody.
Edelman had his way.
Yeah.
9 catches, 151 yards. That matchup, which I talked about with Phil Perry on Friday, very important to the game. And I think it allowed the Patriots to operate the way they did. Edelman was fabulous. He looks like the Edelman pre-injury for the first time since he's been back.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first time it felt like Julian Edelman is fully back.
He didn't tell me he felt well until week 17. Week 17. That was the Jet game, correct? Yeah.
And I thought there was something to take away from that Jet game from him. He looked good in that game.
And he
looked like he was moving well.
He said, I finally feel like myself.
Yeah, well, he looks like himself.
Yep.
He looked like himself yesterday.
Quarterback looks healthy.
But it was the offense. They won this game by scoring a lot of points. That's how they won.
Right. You got out in front. You played out in front.
You allowed them out in front, which is great. That's not a knock. It's just a clear explanation of how this went down.
You have a 21-point lead. You play defense a little bit differently.
Yes, you do.
I know they
did.
Yeah. Then you just send the dogs, man. you start getting one. You create a one-dimensional environment where all of a sudden it's flipped.
It sounds like I'm somehow putting down the defense. Okay?
No, that's what I want to make sure here. Because they were good, man.
Here's my concern, though. Was the defense truly tested yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
For 60 minutes of football, they were not. No, they weren't.
No, but up against that grouping, and I look at it from a communication standpoint, when you look at it and you see Hightower barking out orders, even Atlanta Roberts, the signs, the signals, every single one of their 11 asses were in the right spot at the right time yesterday throughout, and they had a lot of snaps once they got going there in the second half. Like, they didn't give up the stuff over the top until Gilmore got spun around that one time. After that, Allen was a non-factor. And like, whatever happened, it pissed Gilmore off. He said he ain't getting anything after this. And he shut his ass down. Keenan Allen didn't do anything in that game. One move. And they knew it was coming, too. Double move. Talked about that on Friday night with Coach. He's like, they're going to double move it because they're not quick on the outside. They're big receivers. So they got to do something to get open deep.
All right. Go back to the very beginning of the game, the Patriots decide. They win the toss. They decide to take the ball, which I thought I had heard it wrong. I thought as I'm sitting there listening to it.
Yeah, I'm handed, like, Capella hands me thing. Patriots win. Like, you sure? No defer?
I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah.
I'm like, who won? The Patriots didn't win, right? The Chargers won? And then I waited, and we have our engineer extraordinaire, Dennis Knudsen, who every game listens in on the microphones to hear exactly what was done, and then he says exactly what it is. He repeats it, and then I heard him say it, and I'm like, oh, my God, they took the ball. They took the ball, though. What the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
They're taking the ball? This is not what they do. And we had even talked about this last Thursday? You and I had this conversation. What happens if you win the toss? Because in these weeks, you talk about everything. And we were both like, well, you defer. You don't take the ball.
Well, it's funny because I think they even thought, these idiots picked up a kicker in a week, and they made him kick out San Diego.
I don't know about that, Beetle. I don't know. That was one of Zoe's questions randomly on a Thursday. Hey, what do you do if you win the toss? Out of nowhere, Zoe asked that question Thursday.
Because everything changes. See, that's why.
We talked about it on the air.
Zoe asked me on our show.
Oh, really?
We are doing questions? Well, how about this? Just randomly, and I didn't even think to roll my eyes and say, what if Zoe does something?
Oh.
I don't know.
I'm just going to say this.
Even Philip Rivers was surprised that they took the ball.
Well, right there,
he was surprised. They had him. They caught him. Going, what? They took the ball?
And the Chargers still effed it up. They still effed it up because the guy mishits the ball, hits Devlin, knocks it out of bounds, and you're starting inside your own 20. And they still shoved it down your throat.
Right. Because
they knew they wanted the ball.
Yeah,
they wanted
to go. Quick mental note there. Note to everybody. Yeah, the kicker, he didn't kick it out of the back of the end zone. He kicked it to the 16.
You sure?
And then his next kick, he kicked to the 10. And they kicked like three more times, and only once did the ball actually make it to the end zone. Brilliant play. Way to pay attention to the detail, Chargers. Wow, that was really smart of you guys to bring that guy in for the week. Ridiculous.
And my point last week was, okay.
So ridiculous. To make sure. Kicker point. Oh, they're thinking of all the little stuff. So smart, those Chargers.
I said last week.
They probably should have spent a little more time figuring out how to stop the Patriots.
Maybe sign a linebacker so you don't have to play
Thank you. That might have been the guy off the street you needed yesterday.
But why wouldn't you?
Not the kicker.
You're not going to take the team and move them out east, obviously, because you're cheap and you didn't want to do it. And you blamed it on the audiovisual department. Why not just take the freaking kicker and tell him go kick in a high school stadium?
I heard a little something yesterday on this, by the way. I'm just going to give it to you.
Go ahead.
So they were looking to come east after they won last week, right?
Right.
So then they explored it and they realized they couldn't do it. They couldn't get here. They could, all that stuff. The video. They weren't portable. Couldn't get the hotels wired. So after that plan fizzled out, there was the idea that, if we can't do a full week out there, why don't we go an extra day early? Why don't we see if we can get out there Thursday night and practice somewhere on Friday out there in the cold? Nobody would give them a field, from what I understand.
I find that hard to believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
What do you mean, like, nobody?
Nobody here. They were going to fly to New York. They were just going
to
fly to anywhere in the Northeast and then fly again. Let's go to Providence on Thursday.
So Brown would not allow them to use their facilities.
Whoever they called around to said,
people down there,
we don't have a field for you.
Providence does have bad people.
We don't have a field for you.
Bad.
Sorry, we can't accommodate you.
Was it a New Providence? Or
I don't know. All I know is that they tried to find a space, and they couldn't find one. You want to be that place that gives them a field? You want to be Boston College and say, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure, Chargers.
Oh, I could see
come to our place. No way.
Take the check. Yeah.
They don't need the check. Brown doesn't need the check. UMass could use the check, though, if they wanted to go to UMass.
Bryant could use the check. We'll Bryant probably use the check, no? Bryant?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, but nobody wanted to be that place.
They have turf? I mean, nobody but turf.
Nobody wanted to be that place that took on the Chargers.
Most
Friday,
high schools have turf now. So.
No kidding.
Yeah. That's true. There is a lot of high schools with turf. But anyway,
that's just a little rumor I heard
in the building yesterday that they had also tried to maybe come a day early and no one would let them in.
Interesting.
Yeah. You could check on that with your own sources if you'd like.
I'll do some digging.
Yeah, do some digging.
Okay.
All right, you do that digging. But the Patriots won on offense yesterday, and Tom Brady was absolutely brilliant.
So in Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is H to the OV. I used to move snowflakes by the OC. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the ROC. Ho, fresh out the frying pan into the...
Tom Brady in his walk-off interview on CBS yesterday with Tracy Wolfson. I know everybody thinks we suck. Got a chip on his shoulder.
Well, they hear it. They always say ignore the noise, right? Ignore the noise. Well, it's almost like internalize the noise. Use that as a... If that's the case, and if this is real, and to kind of piggyback off that, the Edelman stuff, hey, you want a bad guy in the tournament? We'll be the bad guy.
Do they need more of it?
Why not? Like this, that reminds me of the Rodney Harrison old day type Patriot stuff. Just the disrespect.
Where it was truly manufactured by the time you got to 2003 and 2004. That was a joke because, well, plenty of people believed in their ability to win.
Go even to, like, it's different now. Like, this is what he plays for. I'm standing next to this old man, senior. He's on the sideline there before he comes out. You're right next to me. And I go,
yeah, what was he saying yesterday?
What do you think? He doing 100-yard Johnny? He goes, nah, I think he's going to pull up short like he has been. And he comes out, they cue the music, PSA, boom. Right past us, he looks at me and goes, even the old man doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, huh? He goes, wow, this might be a different day. Not to say that's a sign, but I think it's an indicator that I feel good. 2 weeks off did me wonders.
He ran the full 100, and I said, Pats by a million.
I said, Pats by 40. And then the Jets came over top. Oh, my God. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to get to that in Sounds of Sunday possibly today?
Yeah, that'll be 12:50.
Okay, excellent. Good. Sounds of Sunday, nice. 12:50. We have all the regular stuff today, including Read and React at 11:36. Here's something else. Here, you want that FPI? What does FPI even stand for, Jim?
Football Power Index.
All right, the Football Power Index, ESPN, stats and info. Chances to win the Super Bowl. Chiefs, 34%. Saints, 33%. Rams, 18%. Patriots, 15%.
Is that chances to win or who you want to win?
Chance to win the Super Bowl.
I read that differently.
This is like based on all the computer stuff.
Based on their algorithms. Yeah. They've got the Chiefs winning it.
That's what's great. Because
34%. It's just a shade higher than the Saints at 33%.
And everybody's going to try and do this and talk about the game and the matchup of it. And everything that happened during this regular season just doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah.
Because it's everything changes now.
So do it.
Everything changes.
This is... You guys are the worst team left.
Print that out. Put
You're
it in
the worst
locker.
Team left. You're down to the final four, and you don't belong.
Yeah.
You could do all that stuff this week. Yeah, get them fired up. We need everybody. We need Max Kellerman, Stephen A., all those guys.
Boy, a bad day for them.
We need all those guys this week. Get to work, fellas. Get to work.
Adam Jones is to work already.
Yeah, Adam Jones, do your thing. They're using it. They hear you.
Jones just retweeted the video.
Paying attention.
The Brady thing we just played from CBS.
Yeah.
With the quote, wah, we were favored. Wah.
There is an element of it. I mean, listen.
Does he need protection? Like, who? Seriously, Jones, seriously.
Oh, no.
Like,
did
he do a good? I know. I'm joking. Did he do the giveaway over the weekend? I think he was out on the street Saturday, giving away the Bud Light ticket package and the ball and all that.
People are fascinated by Jones. Fascinated by him and how he's able to do what he does. So Brady yesterday, how good was he?
It was, and I said going into, he had to be, I said it'd be a really good mental game for him as far as getting them in the right runs too. Because I mean, the runs were effective. We'll get into all that. But if they are at nickel, if you're checking to a run, if you got to check to a blocking scheme, that's all on him. Everything's on him. So he had to be pinpoint, not only from the throwing perspective. I thought the accuracy yesterday, my God, the throw to Dorsett, back foot hit, ball's gone. He knew it right away. The two throws to Edelman up the seams, the one coming from, both were coming from the left side, were as good as I've seen. Those were like the Cordero Patterson type throw down in Miami. Lasers right up the middle in the holes that really weren't there when the ball was released. The anticipatory part of it for him to know, okay, it's got to be here. And that's just, it's experience, man. Hit nothing to counter it.
Can I give you a play that showed you that mentally he was there?
Sure.
There was a play in the second quarter, early second quarter, actually midway through the second quarter, 7:29 was on the clock. Mm. Brady drops back, and it was a play that there was a flag in the middle of the field.
Oh, yeah.
Desmond King,
it was the Hogan
called,
Chuck.
Got called for defensive holding.
Yep.
And the pocket was sort of collapsing. There was pressure coming. Brady saw the flag. How he saw the flag, I don't know, but he did. He saw the flag and decided to take the deep shot to Hogan.
Because Edelman got grabbed running across the middle. Because he saw it. And he saw the guy in the middle. He saw the, you know, you periff that yellow flag come flying in from deep. You go, okay, I got him.
But to see it, process right. it, and then think to yourself, free play, look for a shot. And he looked for Hogan. It was an incomplete pass. It was not a very memorable play, but Brady saw the flag before he threw the ball.
And he did a reset. And he said, boom, I'm hurry up, coming back right. And Hogs threw the hand up and went. And he just tossed it up to him like, take the shot. Take the shot there.
And it was a 5-yard penalty.
Yep.
And it was on the way to the Rex Burkhead touchdown from 6 yards out. It was on that drive if you want to go back and look at it.
Incompletion, but one of the smartest plays of the day.
Yes. Yes. And I thought, oh, man, he's locked in.
Yeah.
This dude is locked in based on what we just saw, because that play happened very fast. He knew that he had a free play, and he took a shot.
There was also...
And weren't you so pissed when he threw the ball and said, it's 3rd and 2. What are you going deep for? And then after you saw the replay,
right?
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's why I did. Yeah. But earlier in the year,
just based on the bodies on the field, we could not see the flag from the booth. I didn't see it. He threw it. I'm like, what is this play?
Yeah.
I didn't see the
same
flag.
Thing.
See it on replay, and you saw the flag come out, and you saw from the time the flag came out to the reset and the throw, and Zoe watched on the monitor and knew right away, and he's like, Brady knew it. He knew there was going to be a flag.
I couldn't believe it, because I saw then, boom, that yellow thing pops up on your monitor. Like, okay, there's a flag. Oh, boy, it's deep, deep center. That's got to be on the defense, because they're not going to call that on the offense. And as accurate as he was yesterday, he went to Gronkowski on one of those seam routes where Rob's running up, and he's about 12 yards. He peeks at the safety, and he busts out, and Brady went and go up. And he snapped his chin strap off, and he's like,
"Man, was he?
What are you looking at? Like, what are you looking at? It's there."
Did that get caught on TV?
Yeah,
yeah. You know who they gave the target to? Dorsett. That's what ruined the streak. That was the incompletion.
That
Dorsett.
They gave that to Dorsett.
Yes. No.
Okay, because post game, Zoe, we're looking at the game book post game.
Dorsett wasn't even near it.
They have Dorsett down for
target. No, Dorsett was running outside the numbers on that play, so he was the closest to the ball.
Ah, that is bullcrap.
Yeah, 300 thrown it.
That's what ruined it.
Brady went right at Gronkowski. I don't know. They're talking to each other. He's yelling at him, screaming, and then he chewed him out going off the field, too.
I don't know if you heard it, because Big Jim and I post game were saying, what did we miss? When did he target Dorsett? And Dorsett didn't catch it. I didn't know that. All right, well, there you go. Thanks, Gronk.
Well, can't you fix that after the fact?
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are on that.
David Ortiz goes in and bitches,
like you appeal,
right?
Like
David Ortiz, get Ortiz. Tell Ortiz to call
Can
somebody.
We credit that target to somebody else?
Yeah.
There goes the streak. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a meaningless streak.
No, it doesn't. But
yeah.
But, boy, how about Dorsett, though?
Brady was locked in. He had no time for anybody's nonsense, including Rob Gronkowski. Lit up Gronkowski.
Yeah.
He lit him up after that.
Yeah. But Gronk had a freaking killer day blocking. I mean, to think that this guy's disengaged or maybe the head's not in it, you're wrong. He was killing people yesterday all day. They didn't get a sniff off the edge. They really didn't in the movement. But you look at Dorsett in this offense. I'm not meaning to bring up Josh Gordon, but remember how much he labored to try and make it right with Gordon?
Sure.
Like, what if Gordon wasn't here? And I'm not saying Dorsett would have been better for eight games. But it just seems like their normal flow in offense with Dorsett's out there. Like, he's a quicker route runner, if it makes sense. Little stuff. The hitches, the slants, the backside stuff.
Right.
The quick outs. Like, Gordon couldn't run that. Gordon could run a slant. But literally, he had to bang it on him. And it had to be perfect there. They just seem like they had better flow with Dorsett. And I'm not saying Dorsett's a better player than him. But sometimes a certain player fits a type of system in what you run. It just so much stuff seemed forced at the time with Gordon. Keep going back to like that, you know, Tennessee game. Or even in Chicago, you're forcing stuff to him. I understand it. Well, I understand why. You really didn't have Edelman up to speed. See, now all of a sudden everything's starting to come together for you. Like if you're Andy Reid, you're Kansas City, and you're sitting here and you're looking at this, you're thinking, this isn't the same team we saw in October. It's not the same offense. It's not the same back. Didn't have Burkhead. Didn't have Edelman full speed.
I don't know. They scored 43 points in that
game. I know
that.
It
sounded like they were some sort of inept offense.
They can't. I don't think they could stop anybody to begin with. But they played well against the Colts. Colts didn't want to play this weekend, though. You knew first drive. They didn't want to hit the ground. They all standing up. Nobody wanted to tackle. Like, what the hell happened to that team? Fake fraud. Dome team. Go hang a banner.
They looked like a dome team.
They did. Looked like they didn't want to be there. Looked like they didn't want to be there, including the quarterback. Quarterback was throwing paint cans. He looked like Tim Tebow. Winding up, balls floating. Look, the old Chad Pennington at the end. And Pennington was a good game manager, man. But he couldn't throw. Arm fell off. Just wonder if, like, maybe Luck's at, I don't know, 70%. That's better than anything they have.
Well, ESPN told me last week that Luck was the best quarterback left in the playoffs.
He was hot, man. I mean, it's...
Best one left in the playoffs?
I didn't need stats. I didn't need stats to think that way about it. But the way it was trending... Watching the games, the guy looked freaking good.
The Patriots are hearing it.
Yeah.
They're hearing it all.
That's great.
They're hearing everything that's being said.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's a line drive punt by Allen. Off by Jackson. Ball pulled around to the far side. It's along the sideline. Humber diving toward it for the Patriots. Had a shot to collect it.
Did he have it?
But did the ball squirt out of bounds?
I think it's out of bounds.
Before New England recovered.
Yeah, it's out of bounds.
It will be the Chargers football.
Oh, man.
McClellan was there for the Pats.
Oh, he got it. From this, there's an angle on CBS.
It looks like he has both hands around the football in control.
Throw it, Bill. Throw it.
Bill Belichick.
He just did.
The New England player recovered the ball while it was inbound. It's New England's ball. First and 10 on the 35-yard line.
Huge.
We set the game clock to 3 minutes, 23 seconds, please. 3:23 on the game clock. New England is not charged with a timeout.
Look at Brady is screaming at the offense right now. Hey, we got a break. We blew it on that last series. Let's go.
That was one of my favorite moments of the first half when the Patriots finally had to punt. The Chargers muffed the damn thing and fumble it. And the Patriots recovered it.
The all-pro returner. The all-pro returner.
Oh, it was so awesome. You know what? When that happened, it sounds ridiculous to say this, okay? It sounds absolutely ridiculous. That was like the nail in the coffin in this game.
Yeah.
And it happened with 4 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And this game was over at halftime.
Because I was thinking, okay, the only way you could benefit
over
this for the Chargers was they got to find a way to punch it in and get the ball back and come out and do something to make this a game.
Right, because at that point it was 28-7, right?
Yeah.
And, okay, you're looking at it thinking to yourself, 28-7, Chargers get the ball with about 4 minutes to go. If they can go down and score, they're going to get the ball back at the half. You could potentially be looking at a one-score game.
Yeah.
And midway through the third quarter.
A matter of six or seven minutes.
When you're down by 3 touchdowns, that's how you have to sort of manage it.
Right.
But when that happened...
You got to get one. You got to find a way to get one. But you got to get it before
the
half.
And then the Patriots attack on a Sony Michel touchdown on the short field. Forget it. Game over.
Only that.
Game was over.
Chargers came out and went 3-and-out.
35-7. Thanks for coming. Good night.
Chargers had nothing up their sleeve coming out. No adjustments, even on offense. From a protection standpoint. If he's getting hit, keep somebody in. They just kept deploying people. We'll block it with 5. We'll block it with 5. And then he couldn't handle 4. They couldn't handle 4. And then when the Patriots brought an extra guy, 5 or 6, there's 3 rushers all day.
So after that happens, right, there's obviously some time where Ernie Adams is upstairs looking at it.
Yeah.
This is my favorite part of that whole sequence was the defense is out on the field. The Patriots defense is out on the field. And the offense is sort of standing on the sideline. And Kyle Van Noy looks at the scoreboard, watches that play once, and
walks
goes,
off.
Oh, forget it. It turns and walks off the field. The rest of the defense, the 11, you know, 11 guys out there, now there's 10.
And the Chargers had their offense.
Because Kyle Van Noy took one look at it and said, nope, that's ours. And he walked, went to the sideline,
getting the heater.
Took his helmet off, put it, you know, I think he probably put it on one of those posts on top of the bench and sat back on the bench and was like, I know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
This is our ball.
Yeah.
And then the call, a minute or two later, you know, you get the call and then the defense leaves the field. Kyle Van Noy took one look at it and said, nope, that's ours.
Crazy.
See ya. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. Let's go to the phone. Scott's in Weymouth. This is the boom guy, Scott in Weymouth.
I mean, how can I know? Obviously, I'm open with boom. Awesome, huh? How fun is this, guys? How fun is this?
Boom.
All right, now listen, Bertrand and Zoe, I don't know who's got the dump button, but you got to give me 40, 50 seconds here. I'm going to get a few points, okay? Here we go. Boom. This is a classic example of when people say the game was nowhere near as close as the score indicated. I mean, this was a blowout. The fact, I mean, they covered, it almost looks like it was a good game. It was. It was over. The third quarter, I went to the store. It was over after three. Over.
Boom.
All right, boom. I'm going to do it after every point. I get 3 points. Next up, Kansas City. Boom. Now, Las Vegas opens. They opened. Keyword, emphasis on the word open. The line is opened at 3. Interesting. Now, I'll bet you a bottle of beer that comes down to a pick by kickoff on Sunday. That you're going to see that line melt.
Well,
every
with 3 days.
Let me, don't, Bertrand, don't dump me. I got a lot more, kid.
Wait, I'm dumping you. Go ahead.
All right.
Go!
Oh, I thought you were talking.
Boom.
I'm sorry.
Boom. No, that was all. I'm just saying, okay, go on.
My bad, buddy. Okay. So, yeah, watch that line come down. It opened at 3. Bovada's got it at 3. It's going to slowly come down to 2.5, 2, 1.5. My prediction will be a pick by Sunday.
Well, right. Hold on. Jim Cantore, Weather Channel, they're updating some of the forecasts for Arrowhead Stadium. Jim said the wind with wind chill, it's going to be in the range.
It's not even necessarily wind. It's straight temperature.
Between minus 5 and 10.
That's the range right now that they're giving for this game.
Wow. Yeah. They got bigger winter than we do, and they're in the Midwest, I think we call that.
Well, I think a lot of people will look at New England and favor New England because of the experience.
For reasons that you're about to hear, I'm not even concerned at all, Zolak. Listen to me. I'm sticking with my read, and I won't get into all the details. I said it on Friday.
All right, what's the third point? Scott, what's the third point?
I'll go, boom, we're done in 20 seconds. I have no doubt the Pats are going to win. I'm going to say by 13-plus. This Pats team is better than their 11-5 record, as I said on Friday. I won't get into why. You know that, how they lost the boom, 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 boom. The Pats are turning it on. Regular season is mundane. Now it's game time, and they are ready to roll. Closing. I hope the Pats players are listening. Is there any chance Brady's listening right now, Riddleman, or any of those guys?
Probably not.
I'll tell you what, though. I saw Chopra, and thanks for calling, Scott.
All right, Scott.
Saw Chopra post-game, and he's in there filming stuff, still working on stuff. Because they absorb everything. Not to just we film everything or hear everything to make it part of documentaries or whatever piece we're doing next. They always say they don't listen. I don't think he's sitting there tuning in saying, what the hell is people thinking today? Ha ha, we showed them. I don't think that's part of it. I think now he's getting ready for Kansas City. You know, it's massive. Now, like, Josh has everything at his disposal right now.
There's some great drops that are coming out of that call. I can already tell.
Yeah.
The Midwest one.
Boom.
Bovada. And yes.
But he's that spot's going to move because of the weather.
Yeah. Well, is it? Because I don't think it's an advantage to either team.
How many ice ball games has Mahomes played in?
True, but
Andy Reid. I mean, their defense.
Andy Reid's not playing in the game.
I understand that. But Andy Reid will clock manage the game. Andy Reid could.
I'm not ready to talk.
All of a sudden, tighten up on third and 10.
I'm not ready to talk about the AFC.
I'm not either yet.
I'm not ready. I'm not. We've got all week. Pace ourselves.
But that's news. Arctic front. News.
Yeah, that is interesting. Boom. Boom. Is it going to come down to a pick? I mean, I look at the line and say.
And that's not a local beat guy saying that. That's a Weather Channel guy saying that. Like a national Weather Channel guy, not the Chiefs local beat guy trying to scare
Jim
people.
That's Jim Cantore, guy who.
For Channel 7.
Gets right in there with the thunder snow.
Yeah.
Right? I lost what I was going to say. I don't recall now. Oh, the line. I mean, I look at the line and basically look at it as a pick 'em because the Chiefs get three for being home.
Or a 6-point favorite then.
Excuse me?
So you get, they take away your three. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So neutral sites even. Yeah.
Right. That's how I look at this.
You get the hell am I thinking?
You get the three for being at home.
Right.
That's how I look at it.
Boom.
Maybe I'm wrong. Boom.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com.
Devlin in front of him, a three-point stance, the fullback in the eye. Two receivers right. Brady with a give to Birkin, runs it left, turns upfield, falls his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
I know it's early, but it is an utter mismatch right now. Complete domination on one side of the football. The Chargers have not shown up defensively. The lack of adjustments to me is absolutely amazing. For Gus Bradley, a former NFL head coach, now really good defensive coordinator, you've got the skill people there. You can't adjust to anything Josh McDaniels is doing to you. It is an absolute beatdown. What a run by Burkhead to the edge.
Boom.
Don't forget to get to 98.5thesportshub.com. You can do a lot of things there. Get caught up on the latest news, download podcasts, make sure you get our app. But right now, you can get your Pucks and Paddles tickets. Patrice Bergeron and Toucher and Rich present Pucks and Paddles, the second annual ping pong tournament benefiting the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Thursday, February 7th at Royale Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player, Toucher and Rich, Wallach, me, Zoe, all of us. Get to 98.5thesportshub.com. VIP tickets, $200. That gives you access to the autograph session with the team. General admission tickets, $50. For all this information and to get your tickets, again, 98.5thesportshub.com is where you go for that. Patriots put a beatdown on the Chargers yesterday. And you know what, Zoe? Nobody called this. You were the closest thing to calling this. You said Pats by 8.
Yeah, 31-23.
I think that was the biggest prediction I had heard all week. Nobody predicted a blowout, and that's exactly what this was. Nobody saw this coming.
They felt really good going into
Everybody
this game.
Everybody got this wrong. Everybody.
No, I heard one of our callers say 2-score game.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, I saw him yesterday.
That's true. You know what? He's the closest one to it.
He will stand there, and he will scream until you acknowledge him. He doesn't go away. And I waved twice, and he could see that I have this thing on, this thing, headset.
Yeah.
Headset's on. We're in game, and I'm looking at Bob, and we're having our discussion in between plays, and I see Paulie. He comes all the way up to the road front.
Oh, he came to Splitsville yesterday. He was
and the hand's waving. Hand's waving. I see the hand because it's right in front of my face, okay? And the mouse moving. And I'm like, I know. Hi. I see you. He didn't stop talking.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't understand. I think he understands. He knows what radio is about. He calls all the time. He has discussions.
He's got the gift of gab.
He doesn't understand that while you're talking and you have a headset on, that you can't process what he's talking at the exact same time. And I don't know who he's talking to. And it went on for about a minute.
Yeah.
I had to mute. I pressed mute. I'm like, and put my headset back on. I said, love you. We're on air.
I can't talk to you right now.
What do you want me to do? Do you want me to stop talking to Bob and have a discussion with you about how the game's going?
Yeah.
I'm thinking a 2-score game on this.
Yeah, he was. He was thinking a 2-score game. Yeah, that's the closest thing we heard.
I think that's what he was yelling.
To the blowout.
And he came by when it was being blown. I told you.
I said two-point game.
Two.
So they're going to win 2 points. No, not even close. You can't. There's very few people who could take a victory lap on their prediction for this game, even if you thought the Patriots were going to win.
Coach had a really good air of confidence about himself last week, and it was early, and then just being around a couple things during the week, and you just sensed that they were looking forward to it. And I think it was a big sign, you know, them taking the opening kick and just going. Like that, they wanted the ball. They wanted to play out in front.
Well, not only that, the amount of time they bled off the clock. On that drive, 7 minutes and 11 seconds on that drive to make Philip Rivers sit on the bench and watch and sit there.
Then it builds and it festers, and his frustration gets even worse. And I told you that at the end of last week. That's your advantage between the two, is he can't let a call or a bad play go. It will hang with him for about four series. And he'll stand there and he'll scream. But that's what makes him tick. I like him. You know how I feel about him. But that's a big flaw with him. As much as you think, okay, that's great, he's fiery. Like, I always saw Marino do that. He would always chew out one of his receivers or somebody or bitch at the ref. And you thought, okay, it's just Danny fire. It's him being, you know, being a competitor. And if you just had a little bit of that competition, that guy's got his little pinky, he'd be one hell of a player. And then you don't realize until my last year at Marino where he starts screaming at somebody. And this goes on for about a quarter. I'm like, Jesus, let it go. Like, Brady will bitch and yell and scream at a ref, snap the helmet or yell at Gronkowski, but boom.
Boom.
Right to the sideline.
Boom.
There he is with Josh. They're getting ready for the next series. Rivers doesn't do that. It festers. Hats on. He's still screaming at the ref.
Peter's in New Hampshire. Hi, Peter. Whoa. Okay, got to put your window up or get off Bluetooth or whatever that
might
be.
Who the hell in New Hampshire have a window open?
I don't know. Steve in Woonsocket. Steve.
What's that, 50 up there?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm wicked impressed with how they performed yesterday. Just like right from the beginning when they elected to receive instead of kick. I mean, you guys know that's not what they usually do, but they came out, they came at them strong, 83-yard drive, ate up half the clock. I mean, I can't get over how well they played offensively and then defensively too, you know? I mean, you hold them to, what, 7 points in the first half? I think personally, if they play how they played in the first half in this game, they can go to the Super Bowl. Maybe not win it, but they'll be there. You know, the Chiefs are good, but we're good too. So you guys have a good day, man. Thanks for taking the
call. All right, appreciate it. That's Steve saying the day was good for Brady.
And they exerted themselves. They exerted their manliness. That was an alpha male type day in all three phases. And we haven't seen that. That's what's impressive. Because now it's not how you played in September.
Yep.
And have it, you know, you rip off three straight wins in September, you're undefeated and knocked out, whatever. It's how you're playing right now. So you look at this and you look at the way the Chiefs are playing now too, and Chiefs didn't score in that second half. You know, Colts ended up blanking them in that second half. There are issues with the Chiefs have. There's issues you have. It's going to be a good game.
Peter's in New Hampshire. Peter, we'll try you again. And my call screener just froze up. Perfect timing.
Yeah. Hold on. There's a lot of calls, huh?
There are.
Yeah.
Peter, you there? Oh, now he's not there. Peter's gone. All right. Try and give us a call back. Mike in Connecticut. Mike.
Hey, guys. Great show. Biggest takeaway from yesterday, in my opinion, was the offensive line. Offensive line looked phenomenal. And then Gronk's blocking. Haven't seen him block like that all season. So I think that's a huge takeaway. And then last point, the boom guy, I see the Vegas line going the opposite direction with Kansas City being at home. I see the public all over that. Patriots up to four. I'll let you guys talk. Thank you.
All right, Mike. Appreciate the call. Line talking.
I think weather, the worse the weather is, that line comes down. I think that favors New England. The worse the weather, the colder, I think it favors New England. And I know they can practice in it, play it out there, but I just that these type of games, it's off the table. Everything tightens up, and experience matters. That's it. Boom.
Yeah, but the home factor though.
Does the weather quiet the crowd down a little bit? I think that brutally cold weather might.
That's
like,
a good.
Like
point.
Yesterday. Yesterday was a good crowd. But it wasn't like off the chart nuts.
Oh, no. I thought it was a great crowd.
Oh, no. They stood
through,
they yelled.
It came through on the radio as a great crowd.
It wasn't as good as previous playoffs.
It wasn't like Baltimore. Like, we're never going to hear it like Baltimore. You're down 14 twice, you're coming back. And it's just, the place shook. It didn't shake yet. I mean, you got your hands in your pockets.
It was good.
A little bit, you know?
But it was not.
People were hammered.
Wasn't top five.
It's good. We're bored in front of us, Bulldog. Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have your face covered if it's too below.
Right.
So that's just going to muffle things just because of you're wearing something.
Yeah.
Sound won't travel as well in that cold, compact air. At least I'll keep telling myself that this week. Shy is in the car. Shy.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey.
What's up?
Great win yesterday, man. I honestly think that you can't really go based off all the stats anymore, man, especially this time of year. Pass will show up. You can tell. Brady's he's pissed, man. He hears all the noise. I just feel like he's bringing it to another level. If we can play 60 minutes like this against KC, they don't have, in my opinion, as good of a defense as L.A. had. I think we're going to be able to put points on the board. If our D steps up and they can hold Mahomes to, you know, a two-touchdown game, I think we're going to go to the Super Bowl, boys. Thanks. Have a great day. Right.
Thanks.
Okay, Shy.
I was watching NFL Prime last night with Dion and Sharp and LT.
Yeah.
And Dion was the only guy on set and, like, all week during NFL Network that picked New England. And he was kind of chuckling at them. He goes, I know you guys are Hall of Famers and this and that. You guys are good. And we're all good. Because we got a couple. I got a couple rings. He goes, I remember there were points where I got bored during the regular season. Because when you win, you play. Not say you play to win. You play for the whole kit and caboodle. Like, this is what Brady exerts every single ounce of energy for a chance to be here to play, to get in again. And he brought up the point that they look like they were playing and they were bored at points this year.
I don't agree with that.
No, they were. But
the Patriots were bored.
Not bored. I don't know how to phrase this, but I mean, it's tough to get up for the Jets and Buffalo.
Why they beat the Jets and Buffalo at the end of the year?
I know they beat them. I'm just saying it's hard. Were they bored in Miami?
Were they bored in Detroit?
No, they were just lax.
Were they bored in Detroit?
They were done.
Dion, tell me, were they bored in Detroit? Is that what happened that night?
You got your ass kicked then. But I'd say as the season goes on and you get to the end, the season wears on you, man. The season does wear on you. There's something to be said for, yeah, you take your foot off the gas a little. Like, those last two games were mentally wearing on you, I think. Because you're favored. Nobody expects you to lose to those two teams. So you got to go out, you got to function, you got to manage and find a way to win.
I just don't buy it. I just think it's
part of it.
Nonsensical. Well, they must have been bored in Tennessee. That's what it was. And then when they went to Pittsburgh, they were just bored. They were saving themselves. They were just bored. Come on. Listen to that. Think about that.
It's part of it.
Boredom?
It's not saying it's all of it, but it's, you go through, there's different energies throughout the points of the season. I remember that even when we did, just weird weeks. You know, you're going into the game, you're favored clearly, and you're 10-point favorite. Like, okay, we could F this whole thing up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.